The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
We are compelled as His children to shine that light and to be faithful and to be strong and not to be afraid, but to know that our God is with us. He will go before us and He is our rear guard. He is always with us. He will never leave us or forsake us.
James and Betty encourage us to stand firm on the rock-solid foundation of God's faithfulness. Next on Life Today.
Well, Betty, we welcome our wonderful viewers to Life Today. And, you know, we've been married 58 years and as of last week. And I want you to know you're still absolutely indescribably beautiful.
Well, thank you. And I want you to know you're still my handsome guy.
And I love you. I wouldn't have made it without Betty. I wouldn't have made it without you. I wouldn't have made it without a lot of people's prayers. Have any of you ever failed? Have you ever missed the mark? You know, I feel like I've missed it so far sometimes that the enemy's telling me how sorry we are. And sometimes I'd say, well, I think you're right. You know, devil, God didn't like us thinking about His kids that way. I remember one time I was just telling God, I've missed the mark. I've failed. And, you just love me. And you just pull me close to your heart and you're like the father of the prodigal. You don't want a slave. You want a kingdom servant. Your will, just like Jesus was kingdom servant. He was King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he accomplished your kingdom purpose and said, He's in us to do it. And when I missed the mark, you just put the robe of a son on me and the ring of a son and the peace on my feet, Betty. Just the gospel of love. You're so amazing. And I hope all of you you can't believe how down on oneself people often get because you just can't seem to overcome something that you just wish wasn't there. But it seems to have a grip on you. And you're by no means wicked, but you say, boy, I can be so weak. Listen, the Lord does love weak people. In our weakness, He's made strong. Paul said He can be exalted through our weakness. He called Himself the least of the apostles, and the great apostle called Himself, Betty, the chief of sinners, for heaven's sake. And he said, man, I got these tormentors, and I've asked God to take them away for 3 years. I don't know what they were. I think God specifically didn't tell us what they were, because all of us have a messenger of the devil that's just beating on us. And when I told God, I can't be worthy of what you're doing, and He said, you never were worthy, never can be worthy. Worthy is the Lamb. Now do what I told you to do. Wow. It's in the fullness of God. Here's what I want you to see today. I want you to get your Bible. I hope you can keep listening to me while you run to get it. And I want you to open it to Acts 3 and 4, and then we'll go over to 17. But I'd love you to have a pen there with it. Maybe just have a little pad where you just write a note, because I'm going to sow some thoughts that will just open a treasure chest of God's wisdom and His love. I promise you, because God has put this on my heart with what we're facing right now and the results of the pandemic. I mean, the hatred, sheer hatred for individuals or personalities or political leaders or people. We just don't believe what they're saying. But there's a hatred there. It leads to a point of destruction. That's not God. We should despise evil and always the effect it might have on any of us, the grip or the continual defeat and air of weakness, and we know we can be strong in the Lord and overcome. Betty, I want all of our viewers to understand that we were not left here to get out of here.
That's right.
That future kingdom is prepared for us. And He is telling us that He left us here because His kingdom is at hand and it's in us, because the King came, and the moment He came, this is the potential fulfillment of everything He ever said, including the kingdom to come, heaven. And so He wants us to live as representatives of the Father, God's family, the church, the body of Christ. He wants us to live expressing that clearly, like a city set on a hill that you can't hide. You can't even ignore it. It refuses to be covered or compromised. And you don't just stand alone. That brightens the corner and area where you are. But when you stand united in answering Jesus' prayer, supernaturally one in the Spirit, every member connected to one another in appreciation for the gift each member provides and offers. And that whole body is submitted to Christ, appreciating the teachers, but knowing that those teachers are pointing to the one teacher through the power of the ultimate teacher, the Holy Spirit, guiding us to all truth, so that we never make an idol out of a truth or a teacher, but the truth guiding us with understanding to all truth, and that if we abide in Christ, committed to Him and His kingdom purpose, we lose our life in His purpose, we find it. We hold on to it. We try to protect it. We live only for our dreams, our kingdom, our purpose, and never lose our life in His purpose. We don't have life. We have an existence. And normally it's worse than a mere or meager existence. It's an awful existence. It's like walking death. It's like dead men and women walking. And you don't have to be on death row to be dead people walking. You can see them in church choirs. You can see them in church buildings. You see them in schools. You certainly see them as teachers and educators far too many times. It's just death all around us. That's not how we live. We live liberated by God. And He left us here to make a kingdom impact. Betty, one of the things I really get weary of hearing is Christian state of politics. That is out of the mouth of the deceiver. We don't ignore anything that matters. Decision-making, policies, and laws matter. We live under the burden of them or the blessing of them, the benefit of them or the damage that comes from bad legislation. If we don't follow the principles and truths of God, we're building our life on sand. And it doesn't take much of a storm to bring a house down, a life down, a marriage down, a family down, a business down, a nation down, if it's on sand. You've got to build on the rock-solid sound foundation of God's truth. And when you do, the storms can come, the pandemic can come, and the house stands. But if you buy the lie that we just get comfortable in church and we're going to stay out of all this. Don't stay out of it. Don't stay out of education. Don't stay out of entertainment. Don't stay out of business. Don't stay out of anything on planet Earth. This is God's earth. Heaven and earth is the Lord's. Heaven and earth is to declare His glory. And we, as the overseers of God's garden, planet Earth, this garden, as godly overseers, Spirit-filled overseers, we bring forth much fruit. Betty, when Jesus left these disciples here in Acts, after they prayed together in one accord, the Holy Spirit came. Even Christ denying Simon Peter became the keynote speaker. He was so full of the Spirit that you find in the journey, people would just try to get someone ill in His shadow, that they might be healed. The miracle transforming power that flowed through this New Testament church was amazing. Now, some people say, yeah, but they didn't affect politics. Jesus Christ so affected politics and the political systems and powers that be at the very thought of His birth, killed every baby. Before Moses came, knowing that there could be a deliverer to take them out of the bondage of the world, out from under the fist of Pharaoh, not only serving Pharaoh's will, but putting burdens on them where they had to make bricks without straw, burdening them till they could hardly bear to breathe. And the very thought of a deliverer, they kill the babies and hide Moses. For you to say that the people who love God with all their heart and love their neighbor as themselves and loving themselves properly because they love God and you say those people are not supposed to impact everything that happens in God's garden, you have been deceived by the deceiver, and you are certain to be defeated, and you will contribute to the defeat of freedom. Now, I want you to look at these New Testament Christians. At the Gate Beautiful, they just healed a man that had been lame for 40 years. The whole world around him saw it. It was a notable miracle, they called it. And Betty, what did the religious traditionalists do? What did the powers that be do? They immediately tried to silence them. They threatened them with their life, with prison, and they told them they couldn't speak anymore. And what did Peter do? Or let's just look at chapter 4. While they were speaking to the people the truth, the priests and temple guard and the Sadducees, the religious crowd, and by the way, a lot of them were waving Old Testament. You can wave the Bible and destroy the effect of it with a life that's not totally committed to God's kingdom purpose. If you're here to get out of here to the next kingdom, which he told the disciples upon his ascension into heaven, stop getting hung up there about that kingdom. It's settled. You be witnesses unto me. I left you here to make an impact of the kingdom, to put the weight of the kingdom and the print of God all over planet Earth. That's what you do. Starting at home, the neighboring community, the next community, the ends of the earth. That's why we're here. You lose your life in kingdom purpose, you find it, and you make a kingdom impact on planet Earth, every part of planet Earth. Well, they were disturbed because they were teaching the people, proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. They are preaching this living Jesus. Now, let me just kind of scan over this real quick. They started threatening them so severely that this courageous, spirit-filled Simon Peter, who had denied Jesus before he was filled with the Spirit of Jesus, this bold man suddenly had the boldness of the Holy Spirit. And he said, let's just get it settled. You crucified the Son of God. You crucified the Christ, the Messiah. You nailed him on a cross. You did it. He died for you. And let's get something straight. There is no other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved. Not maybe, can be, could be, possibly, must be. There's one way to heaven. There is one way to heaven. There is one way to the Father. There is one way to God. Jesus said, I, Jesus, am the way, the truth, the life. No one, get this, no one, not you, no one comes to the Father but by me. That's what he preached to them. Well, you can just imagine how pleased these political leaders were. No. They hated him. They hated him. They threatened him. They threatened him. They wanted to throw him in prison. Even though there was a noteworthy miracle, this is chapter 4, verse 16. But everybody saw it. But in order that this great thing not spread any further among the people, let's warn them to speak no more to any man in this name. Verse 17, what name? The name of Jesus. You don't talk about Jesus. By the way, politicians don't care about you talking about religion and church and Catholicism and Protestantism, evangelicalism, whatever you want to talk about. Oh, you can even talk about Jesus, but not this Jesus, not the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, at whose name every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that he is Lord of Lords. That's what the church proclaims. Okay. That's what they were doing. But in order that it spread no more, don't talk about this man anymore, they summoned them. Here's your political powers. Here's your religious traditionalists. I mean, they're religious traditionalists. They didn't realize they're so religiously traditional. But they're actually complaining that any ministers would ever speak to the king about the truths and principles of God, because that king has a rotten past and he doesn't have necessarily the manner that we all wish he might have, and perhaps that we all wish would change. but he actually applied biblical principles, proven principles, historically confirmed principles. It worked. And it was answered prayer. And these religious folks are criticizing the people for doing what all the prophets did, what Moses did, what Joseph did, what Daniel did. And what you're seeing these New Testament Christians say to the political leaders, you killed Jesus, you killed the Son of God. You did it. You're guilty. You're wrong. And let's straighten it out. There's only one way to heaven, and it's the man you crucified. That's the only way. You better get it straight. And they said, well, we don't want you to speak anymore. And they said, these Christians, Betty, we can't help but speak what we heard. You remember some places tried to stop me from speaking. Mm-hmm. Some schools tried to keep me from speaking. But I never could stop. And the whole schools would come. The voice of God, the word of God that's in our bones like a fire can't be silenced. They said, we can't help but speak what we've seen and heard. Most people in church, Betty, most people in churches don't seem to have seen and heard anything of significance. Just their little religious setting and club. Get out of it. Break free. Break free from the bondage of religion, sectarianism, denominationalism, worshiping some teacher of the gospel rather than the king of the gospel. Don't gather around Paul, Apollos, Cephas. You'll be carnal, fleshly babies that can't even eat the meat of the word. We gather around Jesus. We want to see Jesus. And God said, you can see me in everything I created. You're without excuse. I'm visible everywhere. Open your eyes, and I'll open your blind eyes. But you got to speak the truth to the leaders. Betty, they did it. And the entire book of Acts is of a church that turned the world upside down. And in Acts 17, when all the people were warned, the leaders, these people that have troubled all these other communities have now come to our town, and we better stop them because they've turned the world upside down, actually an upside down world right side up. And they've come here because they're speaking another king than Caesar. And that king is Jesus. Betty, the entire New Testament is written about people carried by the Spirit of God, impacting everything on planet Earth for the glory of God. Now, you're a sweet little homemaker and a grandma. Is the church supposed to be involved in things that matter, including politics?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, if you know Jesus, if He's in your heart, your life has been turned upside down because of Him and turned right side up, and just knowing that you have that relationship for Him, there is a compelling of your spirit, God's spirit within you, to share and to tell the truth. And that's why I was sitting here listening to James talking about the real Jesus. I had to put a smile on my face because for a long time as a church member, I didn't know that real Jesus. I didn't know Him, the one that I saw in James. I didn't know what He was talking about until one day I came to Jesus and asked Him to change my whole life and to live in me and to change anything in me that wasn't right and to let me be a light that would shine, to know Him and to be an expression to others. We are compelled as His children to shine that light and to be faithful and to be strong and not to be afraid, but to know that our God is with us. He will go before us and He is our rear guard. He is always with us. He will never leave us or forsake us.
But honey, you know that one of the main reasons that I stand so boldly is the prayers of this beautiful woman and the prayers of a lot of you. From the bottom of my heart, thank you for praying for us. I can promise you I'm going to speak the truth to power, to leaders in the business world, the national political world, the church world. I'm going to speak truth boldly. These New Testament Christians in that same chapter, when they met together and prayed, They were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak the word of God with boldness. Just read that whole fourth chapter and notice that then they began to give to the poor because they lost everything in kingdom purpose. If you had need, they met it. One of the things I've seen, and I want you to realize that the church is the only force on this earth that the gates of hell cannot prevail against. That includes the gates of deception, dissension, division, hatred, death, destruction. Cannot prevail against the body of Christ, the church, when it comes together. We're the only hope freedom has. Christ in us, the hope of His glory, the only way to know freedom. If you want someone to pray with you because you realize, like Betty, I've been in church, but I don't have Jesus. If you want to call and say, I want to lose my life totally in kingdom purpose today, pray for me. Pray that I'll be filled with boldness, call. But I also want to say to you that right now we're in our last week of Water for Life. And boy, do we need an outpouring of love this week to complete 350 water wells. I'm praying we could go past it. I want you to watch very carefully while others are calling in to give their life to Christ. I want you who say, I want the best from God, for God, watch closely, and you'll be the answer to someone's prayer.
Imagine living in a village where people are dying on a regular basis, all because of the water. Is this a water source for the village, Armel?
Yes, that's the water source for the village.
And they drink that?
Yeah, they do.
Wow. What do you see in this cup? What we don't see is what should really alarm us. All types of germs and diseases are in this one little cup of water. We've heard countless stories already of how many people have lost children from drinking this water. They have no other choice. They have no choice than to drink this germ-infested water. We have a choice, and we can drill a well in this very village. We can drill down and bring clean, beautiful water that will bring life to this village. We can stop the deaths. We can stop the burials. We can stop the tears and bring beautiful, clean water to this village who desperately need a touch of God's love.
God bless you, Ralph. I don't know how many of you know, but our mission director said goodbye to his wife just a couple of years ago. He never stopped going to the ends of the earth. Ralph, we love you. A lot of people have said goodbye to somebody, and I've said goodbye to a lot of our lifetime friends. And the age, at our age, 77, we've said goodbye to a lot. We've lost some to COVID. I just need to say something to you, though. I don't have much time at this point in the program to ask for your help to drill the wells, but this is our last week. And we really need a lot of people who can give a well to give one. They're $4,800. Or maybe give half a well, 24, and pray, God, get somebody to join me now. We got a well. 1,200, three people joining. I don't know what you can do. But we need a miracle response today, Betty. And I spent my time today just really preaching the word and getting you to stand in the face of the deceiver and the destroyer and make a kingdom impact on planet Earth for the glory of God. And I'm telling you, there is no greater impact than you make when you love people who are the least of these. Jesus called that the real manifestation of who the sheep are. So I'm asking you right now, would you go get your bank card, use it like a check, make the greatest gift you can, knowing this, please, listen, you're giving the greatest gift of all, life itself. And you're going to give Water for Life and the missionaries are going to tell them about the water of life that's flowing through you. At whatever level you can help, this last week, we need the best gift you can make because it's the great gift of life. Would you please go online, dial that number, use that card like a check. If you write a check, call us and tell us you put it in the mail. Thank you so much.
Dirty, disease-filled water. How desperate would a mother need to be to consider giving this contaminated substance to her child? For many mothers and their families living in extreme poverty, this is their only choice. But with your help, they won't have to make this choice ever again. Mission Water for Life provides clean, disease-free water for thousands of children and their families, giving them a life free from the fear of death. With your gift today, you can help drill and establish 350 water wells this year. Your gift of $24 will help provide clean water for 5 children. A gift of $48 will help provide for 10. $72 will provide for 15. And $144 will help provide life-giving water for 30 people for a lifetime. With your gift, we'll send you Speak Your Name, devotions and declarations on the reality of Jesus. Filled with stunning imagery, these 40 encouraging devotions by Lainey Renee serve as a reminder of the power of Jesus' name. With your gift of $100 or more, please request the Be Refreshed pitcher. This beautiful ceramic pitcher is decorated with Proverbs 11:25 and is sure to make a lovely addition to your table or home. Finally, please consider a gift of $1,200 to help provide water for 250 people, or a gift of $4,800 to help sponsor a complete well. And you may request our brand new inspiring bronze sculpture, Divine Servant. This is the last week. Please call, write, or make your gift online.
Now, I remind you, this is the last week. And Father, we really need help.
Yes.
I pray we go beyond the goal. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so much. I want you to keep studying that chapter 4. I'm gonna come right back to chapter 4. I want to show you some components in there that are critically important for us right now. Acts 4. I love you. Thank you for your help. See you next program.
We're supposed to be there and elegant. Instead, we're writhing in the mud.
Lisa Harper, tomorrow on Life Today. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.